Psalm 114. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams and the little hills like lambs. What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? Thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back. Ye mountains, that ye skip like rams, and ye little hills like lambs? Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which churned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's all pray. Our Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for thy presence in the midst of us. Lord, we thank you for the flame that is burning in our hearts. Lord, we thank you for the light by which we all departed the darkness and we live in you and you live in us, O Lord. Lord, we bless thy holy name. Amen. You gave all of us the victory.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, we have won the battle.
Amen.
Even before
Amen.
We went to the battle.
Amen.
Lord, we are all here as spirit man and spirit woman, as spiritual brothers and sisters, a spiritual holy priesthood. Built upon the chief cornerstone. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you that you called all of us by name. Lord, we thank you that you separated all of us from the world.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you that you gave us a place, a shelter, your mighty name.
Amen.
Lord, we bless all things that you have done in our lives because, O Lord, what the Lord had purposed in his heart, the word that is spoken, it shall come to pass.
Amen.
Lord, guide us to accept and to understand and to appreciate thy perfect will in our lives, O Lord.
Amen.
Because we are part of the word and we are the body of Christ. Lord, we are all here to suppress ourselves so that, O Lord, thy Holy Spirit can bear witness with our spirit.
Amen.
Lord, this is the true purpose of all of us walking in this world as a living testimony, a lighthouse, a holy priesthood to glorify your mighty name. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you blessed all of us to be born of the Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that you baptized us with water and fire.
Amen.
Lord, thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit, thy power, the living word,
Amen.
That burns continually in our hearts, our mind, our soul, because, O Lord, you want all of us to shine the light.
Amen.
Lord, we are all here to clean our hearts, to surrender ourselves for the Master's use.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the words of life.
Amen.
Lord, you are the Holy One, the Mighty
Amen.
One. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings.
Amen.
Lord, thank you, Lord, that you called all of us.
Amen.
Lord, as we are about to open our Bibles, we ask thy Holy Spirit to teach us,
Amen.
To speak to us, that we may listen to the voice that changed our lives.
Yes.
Lord, guide us to seek thy face,
Amen.
That we are always with you and you are always with us and you are always watching over us.
Amen.
It is us who maintain a distance. It is us who run away from the presence of the Lord. Lord, help us and strengthen us to be always in thy presence,
Amen.
That thy glory shall dwell in the midst of all of us. Lord, we thank you for today. Bless this day. Lord, We surrender everything, our minds, our heart, our soul. Let there be no distraction among us as we are all one body of Christ. As we are about to partake the bread of life in God's word, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, assemble and gather all of us as one body of Christ, in one mind, one spirit, in one faith.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you. Lord, we commit the entire sermon into thy hands.
Amen.
We bless thy holy name and take complete control, and we pray and we ask and we believe that we received it in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the grace and mercy. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen. You may be all seated. God bless you all, dear brethren. We thank the Lord that we are able to gather yet again this Sunday, because we all live a very uncertain life. Amen. The only certain thing that happened to all of us is what we received, the name, the truth, the revelation, the way, the life, the light, everything is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We thank the Lord for all the trials, all the troubles, all the pain, all the loss, all the sufferings, because we are not the same. Because the Lord does not want to pamper us, but rather He always sends us to valley, and when we come back, we will never be the same. He will give us some sufferings. When we recover, we will never be the same. It is the spirit man the Lord is mainly concerned about. He wants all of us to be stronger in our spirit, because when we walk through the fire, the flesh cannot pass through. Only the spirit man can pass through to dwell in the midst of the wall of fire. Amen. So we thank the Lord for all the great things, and today by the grace of God we shall continue where we stopped from last Sunday. The power of Holy Spirit, we started this because 3 Sundays before the Lord blessed all of us when we meditated on the Holy Spirit, which itself beareth witness with our spirit. This is the one line of our main purpose, what we desire, what we ask the Lord, because the Lord said, ask me anything in my name and I shall give it to you. But do we ask for the Lord's Spirit more and more of His grace in our lives? So that is how we started. And I was teaching my children to how to ride bicycle a few weeks before, and I remembered when my daughter started learning bicycle maybe 5 years ago. She will try to balance and she will fall on the right side, and again will balance and fall on the left side, and you fall, you rise, you fall, you rise, and after a few rounds of falling right side, falling left side, eventually she would learn to ride the bicycle straight. Our narrow path is straight. There is no left, there is no right. In our life, when we follow the ark of God, when the Lord encouraged Joshua, after the servant of God, Moses, was taken, he told Joshua, don't turn to your right or left, but keep your focus straight. Because the commandments was given to him, and he knows what to do, which is to follow what the Lord said, and nothing else. Nothing else on the right side, nothing else on the left side, but the Lord himself will decide which direction we shall go. But for us, there is no right, there is no left. It's only straight. As I was meditating more on this, the word right, we use it for different purposes. I was right, you are wrong. He is right, she is wrong. Right. Same spelling, same word, same way we pronounce. But when the Lord said, don't turn to right, don't turn to left, it's a different context. It's just a direction. And also the word left, it can also be used in different contexts. She was left behind. He was left behind. I was having my gift, but by mistake I left in my home. Left means leaving behind. Or someone was there, he just left 10 minutes ago. He was here, but he just left 10 minutes ago. Too much of assertiveness, too much of charismaticism, too much of confidence, all the denominations, different churches are taking on other side, they think they are right, absolutely right, and there is no way they can go wrong. By doing so, they forgot the way, the narrow path is straight. They take right turn and they go in their own direction. On the other side, where people are very scared of doing anything, so that instead of thinking that the Lord will make me fall and rise, fall and rise, fall and rise, and until one day I will walk straight, because of that lack of confidence, we tend to sit idle. Over time, we will be left behind. You could see this nature in also in different churches. I was from Catholic. When I was 4 years old, I was an altar boy. Until I was 12 years old, I spent all my time in the church, helping the priest, doing all the activities, participating in everything that they do, because I was living near to the church. It's like a perfect example of doing nothing. Just write what was written in the book, which they planned for the next 2 or 3 years. There is no way they understand the Holy Spirit can teach, guide, change the course. Rather, everything is fixed for the next 2 or 3 years, what should be read on the particular day. No one can question and no one should bring the Bible. It's on the other side. It's even worse than being lukewarm, which is completely dead, no life in it. But over time, what happens is, when you receive the truth, we change from being active to being frozen to understand more, because we think something is happening to us. Maybe whatever I learned before was wrong. This, I'm sure those who came to this ministry, to the truth, from different church, different religion, different faith, you would be able to relate what I say. When you realize that what you were doing all these years is nothing, the first thought that would come to your heart is, why the Lord did not show this to me? Why He allowed me to make all these mistakes? That would put you in a very humiliated state where you will become frozen. It's like you are climbing the mountain very fast. The Lord said, just go down to the valley for some time. Just stay there. Like how Moses was there for 40 years in the desert, doing nothing other than waiting for the Lord to start His journey. During this time, whatever we did in the name of the Lord, when the Lord tells, my son, my daughter, don't worry, whatever you did, whether it is right or wrong, if the intent is right, if the desire, why you did that, what you did that, whether it is right or wrong, let me judge you. But most of the time, we judge ourselves. That would put us in a very, very weaker, weary state, which happened to me personally, and I'm sure you all can relate to what I say. So, our mind will tell us, so whatever you were doing all these years, what spirit was in you? Who were influencing you? Were you following human? Were you under idol worship? These sort of confusions, questions, is to beat us down to the ground, to the extent that we will think, I am just learning. I am still learning. I have a lot to pick up. I have a lot to learn. I have a lot to study. I have a lot to understand. This would move our mind, our heart, our soul, our spirit, everything to the state of idol. But to be very candid, those who are on the left side will think that they are going straight. Those who are on the right side will also think that they are going straight. Yes, they are going straight in their own direction. They are going straight in their own direction. But when we receive all the truth, when I was meditating all the mistakes I did, could have been this, could have been that, for 10 years I was like a hibernating spirit man, kind of a frozen meat sitting in the chair. I was crying when I realized that the Lord revealed the truth that you must be baptized in Jesus' name. If not, there is no other way. Then I was thinking, how come 4 years I even sacrificed my job? 1 year I was doing youth ministry with the church. Why the Lord did not tell me that you were wrong? Why the Lord did not reveal this to me? That put me in a very guilty conscience, a very weary state, which I can't even explain in words. But the truth is, the Lord would never want us to take one step away from Him. That is not the spirit of the Lord. that would never be the Spirit of the Lord. Anything, everything that makes us to feel that I am not worthy, that makes us that you cannot do this for God because you are not worthy, you made a mistake, whatever makes you to take one step behind from following the ark is not of the Spirit of God. We may name it as being humble, being quiet, being silent, I don't want to make mistake. We can say thousand names, but the Lord wants all of us to fall and rise, fall and rise. We cannot take a four-wheeler car and just drive the narrow path, and the Lord would say, do you know how to ride bicycle? Then I would say, no need, Lord, I have a car, it can go faster than the bicycle. That's not what the Lord wants. The 40 years of journey of Israel, it's a matter of being slow, patient, obedient. Just do the mistake. Even if the Lord tells you to go and fall from the cliff, they will fall because the Lord will catch. But this spiritual discernment becomes blurred. The reason is, when the Holy Spirit, when the Lord's presence leaves us because of our own iniquities, this is one side. On the other side, we leave the presence of the Lord because of our own understanding that what we do is correct. In both the cases, the losing side is us. So God is always moving, and He wants us to walk straight in the narrow path, and He don't expect us to catch everything at one shot, but rather He would be happy to see us keep on trying again and again and again until we can't get it right. He will get it right. Amen. This is the beautiful definition of the Lord is perfecting His church. We are the seventh church age. Amen. If there is no need for us to be perfected, then why the Lord needs to tell Joshua, don't turn to right, don't turn to left? If the Lord thinks Joshua has all the commandments, he will go straight. God knows our weaknesses. Without His presence, we will perish. It's as simple as that. Without God's presence, we will not stand. We will not be able to not even make one step in the narrow path. So, the power of God's presence, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the control and the influence of God's Spirit that suppresses our spirit, that circumcises our flesh, there is one obstacle that stands between God's Spirit and our walk in the narrow path. It is our own spirit, it is our own flesh, it is our own self. We are the only biggest obstacle that can come against us and the Lord. The Bible has two important verses that reminds us, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Do you all believe this? Amen. Amen. But the Bible also says, your iniquities separated from the Lord. These two, except you, nothing can separate you from the love of God. You are the only person who has the power to separate yourself from the love of God, because that is the free will that stands against the perfect will of God. That is why Lucifer fell, that is why Eve was deceived, and that is why Adam had to take the responsibility. Everybody must pay for their own actions. No one can complain or can point out to someone that because of he or she, I made this mistake. The Lord would say, I created you, I know better. When the Lord created all of us, He created us in His image and His likeness. Amen?
Yes.
Which means the Lord has given us the power to choose life and death.
Amen.
And the Bible says, today I give you a blessing and curse. Choose what you want. God cannot say, no brother, you must go to heaven. No, say, Lord, I want to go to hell. No, I'm going to drag you to heaven. God would never do that. If He does that, then the enemy will be standing here. Lord, it's not a fair game. Because he is also playing by the books. If you see the way he bargained with the Lord, he made very genuine statement. You get everything to him, so he praises you. Let me take out everything to see if he's really praising you in spirit. The Lord said, fair game, then okay, take everything. But don't touch his life. Why? The life belongs to him.
Amen.
Only the God can take the life of his children. Enemy can't even touch it.
Amen.
Why? The day when we accepted the Lord as our Savior, we move from one state, which is everybody, we in the beginning when I was reading the Genesis 20 years ago, I think, oh, Adam lived for 930 years. Methuselah, almost 1969 years. I was reading all of this. But then, after I learned the truth, I read it differently. Adam died after 930 years. Moses died after 120 years. Because the Lord said, wage of sin is death. Death is working in us. Before our journey on this earth ends, the Lord wants all of us to forget about these two, which is so-called life, which is not the true life, but rather hold on to Him. He is the life. Those who are the sons and daughters of God, the enemy cannot touch the life, because the life is God Himself.
Amen.
Enemy cannot touch God. Enemy cannot, you know, they can't do anything to a spirit man.
Amen.
So that's why the Lord says, are you in my presence, or are you somewhere far away from my presence? I do not know if any of you went to adventure trekking or forest walking. If you ever stayed in the middle of the forest, you will have to bring all the woods to make fire. You have to stand. You can choose the distance. Oh, it's too warm. I go back. Some people will feel so cold. They will come nearby. I've been there a lot of times when I was a student. Let's say there are 10, 20 students. Not everybody will sit in the same distance. Depends on how cool you feel, how big you are, how small you are. You will choose a distance that is comfortable to you. That is not comfortable to the fire, because you can't change the fire. The fire is fire. It has a constant heat, it has a constant attitude, it has a constant light. You cannot tell the fire, can you please dim down the temperature? It is a natural fire. You adjust yourself. When we follow the ark of God, according to what is revealed to us, according to how we seek, how earnestly we seek, the Lord will show us in more excellence way. Amen? If we say, Lord, it is too cold, I'm going to sit in the middle of a fire, we will die. But if the same fire is God Himself decides how He wants it to, comfort you, guide you, then He will choose how He can create a fire around you. Amen? So, the Spirit of God, which beareth witness with our spirit,
Amen.
Is something that has been keep on running in my heart ever since I studied that verse 3 or 4 weeks ago. What kind of witness I am? Who I am witnessing? Unto whom? Am I doing anything according to my own mind or own spirit? When I thought about this, it brings the fear and trembling what can happen in the presence of God. The Spirit of God represents the presence of God. When God decides, I'm going to dwell in the midst of them, can He dwell in the midst of people who do not believe Him? He cannot, because He is holy. The Bible says, He is holy, in Him there is no darkness.
Amen.
He cannot go and dwell in the place of the enemies, because they don't trust Him, they don't love Him, they hate Him. The Lord chooses His children where He will dwell, the place where the temple is preserved for Him to go and dwell.
Amen.
And who or what is the temple? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The right or left, if we don't try, we would never learn. Do you all agree that?
Amen.
Swimming, bicycle, studies, whatever you say, even if you go and try to read the Bible over and over again, only in this aspect we will never succeed, if we don't ask the Lord to teach us. Because this is something that doesn't belong to us. We are part of it. Amen?
Amen?
Everything else in this world, your studies, your work, your fitness, whatever the world can provide, you can genuinely work very hard and you can get it. But do not praise the Lord because you get something from the world. We are not of this world. The Lord blesses children what He needs, what they need, so that they can go through the journey according to His perfect will. Amen? There are times God would be expecting you to reject a promotion, would be expecting you to sacrifice some worldly desire. But that discernment tells us whether we can see clearly or we are still blurred. Now the presence of the Holy Spirit, presence of God, the Bible says, tremble at the presence of God. Tremble. Why? Because The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the knowledge and wisdom. Not the fear of punishment, as we read before. He is our Creator. He loves us, and we fear Him because of how much He loves us. How much more grace and mercy He showed us. We do not want to disappoint. We do not want to make Him feel the way He felt about King Saul. Lord regretted that He made Saul as a king. That's a warning to all of us. Because we are all, the Revelation chapter 1 says, Jesus Christ, He is a faithful witness who happened to all of us as kings and saints unto God. We are all kings in the presence, in the eyes of God. Amen. If you recall why God always have a very special place for David, you could see David is one single example whom you can relate to all the important events in the Bible. You see, David was a shepherd. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He says, I'm a good shepherd. He was actually taking care of sheep before He became a king. When Samuel was looking for David, David was not there. Then He called him, anointed him to be a king. David wrote all the Psalms inspired by the Holy Spirit. A true worshipper. God loves worship. God loves fellowship. Not because He wants people to praise Him, but because He dwells in the midst of His people. Whatever we praise, it is the truth. He is righteous. We are telling the truth. It may sound something, oh, too much praise. It is not praise. What we sing about Him is the truth. Nothing more, nothing less. So David was a worshipper, a great worshipper. He wrote all the Psalms. He was a shepherd. He was a king. In the Garden of Eden, the enemy went for something that belongs to who? Adam. The enemy deceived Eve, who belongs to Adam. Even the Ten Commandments, we read, do not lust for someone's wife. But that time there was no such commandment. God gave His commandment to His children. God told His creation what to do, what not to do. But the enemy is not the son or daughter of God. It's an enemy. It's against God. So he don't have any such rules for him to play. But rather he goes and lies, accused, being an adversary. Then the enemy deceived Eve. Who was affected? Adam was affected. Amen. Adam had to do what he had to do. That is why he was created. He did what exactly he was supposed to do. David, when he took the wife of Uriah, he killed Uriah. He made sure that Uriah will get killed. And he took the wife of Bathsheba. You can relate what happened in Garden of Eden. The same way, Adam and Eve lost their son, Abel, who was killed by Cain. The same way, David and Bathsheba, they lost their child. But the difference is, Adam took a long time to recover before the Lord gave them Seth. But David, the moment he heard the child is dead, he just stood up and said, I can't go to him, he can't come to me, so I will just do what to be done for the Lord. The way he showed his desire, his passion, his faith for the Lord, irrespective of how many times he fell, the way he honored God anointed King Saul, he didn't lay hands on King Saul. David represents a lot of beautiful lessons that we learn from Bible over time, even in the New Testament. That is why in Revelation, when Lord Jesus says, I am the offspring, the root and offspring from David, He is also called the son of David. Because David represents all. He represents, he is a prophet, he is a king, he was a shepherd, he made mistakes, he fell, he stood up, he continued. God put him in a very, very strong trial where he gave the life of King Saul, but he didn't take. He honored God's anointing. Because anointing represents the presence of God. Anointing represents the Spirit of God that rests upon His people. They can make a mistake, but still they are anointed, and David knows that. That was the biggest battle David won in his life. Because forgiveness comes from the Lord when you repent and seek the Lord. But what David did in that time was what changed the course of his life. Now, I just want all of us to think or just feel as if someone comes and take you for a ride. and let's say we just use the word bicycle, let's say two of us ride bicycle, and one person tells, let's go for a bicycle ride, so we go, and the shepherd says, let's say us, I'll show you a few people, let me tell me what you feel, tell me what you perceive. And let's say the shepherd is the pastor of that brother or sister. So they go for a bicycle ride. At one stop, he shows a man who is just jumping and dancing in front of people who are sitting very, very quiet and looking at him. And the way he danced looked very crazy, very weird. Even his shirts are dropping off. Then the pastor asks the brother or sister, what do you feel? We will have three answers. There are only three answers that we can give, three categories. Either we may judge the person by saying that he is wrong, maybe something is happening to him, maybe he is in some wrong spirit, or two, we will say, I don't know, maybe he is rejoicing in the Lord's presence, dancing and singing, I don't know. Or third, we will say, I don't want to comment because I don't know. Either we say nothing, or we say something to the right, or we say something to the left, or we just stay quiet, say, I don't know. Because I don't know the person, I don't know him in Christ, I don't know. Then the journey continues, he shows another person who is well clothed. Suddenly, in front of all the people, he removes all his clothes, bare naked, and just walking around here and there like a mentally affected person. Then again, if the question is asked, what do you see, what do you perceive? Then again, we have three answers. One, I think he lost his mind, or some evil spirit entered in his life, or something is happening, some attack. Second, we will say, I don't know why he's doing it, so I don't want to comment. Again, in everything that we do in our life, you can park your decision in three categories. Either you take too much assertiveness, or you say too much inferiority complex, that something that it completely shows how weak we are in our work, or sometimes we just say, we keep quiet. Then the journey continues. He showed another person who is talking to a woman, very well built, strong, and the woman is quite small, and talking to a woman, suddenly the woman says something and he just dropped everything and ran off. So in these three examples, if the Lord take all of us to those respective time period, if we think without even knowing what we read in the Bible, if the Lord take us, whatever the spirit, whatever the state that we are in right now, if He take us like a vision and gave us these incidents, if the Lord see, even if you don't say anything, He can read the deepest desires and thoughts of our heart. God can read the intentions of our heart. Amen. If when we see, the first thought that comes to our heart will show which spirit is suppressing our mind. Is it the spirit of God or our own spirit? If we judge the person who was naked, running here and there like a mentally affected person, then the Lord would say, okay, let's read Isaiah 20. This is the verse I feel that we should start today's sermon. Amen. Isaiah chapter 20, verse 1 to 6. Isaiah is a very important chapter, which is also called the miniature Bible. So I encourage all of you to prayerfully meditate on this in your own time. It's such a wonderful book that the Lord can teach us a lot of things. And this chapter begins after the Lord blessed Egypt and Assyria and also Israel, which is the inheritance of the Lord. So Isaiah chapter 20, I will just read from verse 1 to 6. In the year that Tartan came unto Ashdod, when Sargon the king of Assyria sent him and fought against Ashdod and took it. At the same time spake the Lord by Isaiah the son of Amos, saying, go and loose the sackcloth from off thy loins and put off thy shoe from thy foot. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. And the Lord said, like as my servant Isaiah had walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and wonder upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia. 3 years he was walking naked for a sign and wonder upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia.
So shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptian prisoners and the Ethiopian captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. And they shall be afraid and ashamed of Ethiopia, their expectation, and of Egypt, their glory. And the inhabitant of this isle shall say in the day, behold, such is our expectation, whether we plead for help to be delivered from the king of Assyria, and how shall we escape? We shall go more into this book as the Lord leads. In this chapter, there is one word that really strike my heart. When the Lord said, go and loose the sackcloth from off thy loins and put off thy shoe from thy foot. After that, it says, and he did so. There was no questions or doubts or not even, Lord, are you sure? Lord, is there any other way? No. The Bible did not record anything else. It says, and he did so, walking naked and barefoot. But what's more beautiful is the next verse. You see how the Lord identifies the servant who obeyed the command that he gave because he was in his spirit. And the Lord says, okay, you just go and walk naked for 3 years. And the Lord comes and says, and the Lord said, like as my servant Isaiah had walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and wonder upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia. Because of this, I am going to do something. Because of this, I am going to do something. All the servants of God, prophets, people who surrendered their lives for God, the Lord has always done something because of what happened in their lives. The pain, suffering, sacrifices, life, whatever they sacrifice for the Lord, Lord would not come and say, good, good, everything is fine. He will take it and do great things. He will take it and do great things. So the obedience is the sign of the Holy Spirit resting upon our lives. The command that was given to Isaiah is even more tougher, complex, more of a challenging one, because it brings shame to him in front of the world than what he told Ananias, than what he told Samuel. But in those cases, both Samuel and Ananias, they questioned the Lord. What if Saul killed me? But this Saul is persecuting Christians. But the Lord said, let me take care of it. I am the creator. But here, Isaiah, there is no record of what he responded. It says, and he did so. Done. Amen. Now, we started the whole sermon from the word nakedness. My question is Isaiah naked in the sight of God? No. He is blessed in the sight of God. But he was naked in the sight of the world. Whenever we do something for the Lord, why the whole world hates us? Because they see something is wrong with us. Something is terribly wrong. Because we cannot be like them. We cannot celebrate life like them. Because the life they celebrate, as we just discussed, it is not life. It is a death in progress. He died after so and so years. She died after so and so years. But for us, the day we accepted the Lord, we started living forever. Amen. Our journey on this earth may end, but our journey with the Lord would never end.
Amen.
And what is the seal? What is the sign? What is the assurance that we can say that is the presence of God in our lives? Not in the church, not in the fellowship, not somewhere. The presence of God in our lives all the time.
Amen.
David says, I seek the Lord in his holy temple every day to seek his beautiful face.
Amen.
Where is the temple? The big one that they build in this world now? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Not the bricks. Here, we can call it as a church because many churches gather into one church. That is why it is a church. If not, it's nothing but a social gathering. It is a church. Right now, we are a church because we all gathered, spiritual houses gathered, become one house of the Lord, holy priesthood, in one spirit, one faith, one mind, one love. Now we can say we are a church. But my question is, if there is no calling to all of us, can the church stand? All these months, the burden that the Lord had put in my heart, and also many of you who are praying for our church and ministry, is The day when the Lord took our dear pastor Richard Gann, the calling was taken because the calling was given to him. Do you all agree?
Yes.
He was called to be an apostle. The Bible says, yes. Call. Apostle Paul identifies himself. I, Paul, called to be apostle. He was not made to be apostle. Called. Called by whom?
Yes.
Called by the Lord himself.
Yes.
That is why if we were all standing on the road, suddenly one person just fell down on the road, rolling here and there like a madman and speaking to someone unknown, then we would say, oh, something wrong, some devil entered in his heart. But if the Lord say, hey, you are witnessing what happened to Saul, I, Jesus, speaking to him. What is it? Lord, I did not know that, I'm sorry. I just said without knowing what I said there. Then the Lord would say, if you cannot discern my Holy Spirit, then which spirit are you worshipping? If a child cannot discern the Father's voice, then there is something that is lacking between us and what we learned. That is the difference of staying inside the fire and staying outside the fire. Both the people will feel the warmth. The difference is, those who are inside the fire cannot be touched by the beast of the wild. But those who are outside the fire, the beast can come and devour them. Because there is no barrier between them and the beast. The wall of fire is a circle. We will go there later. So now, the presence of God is the wall of fire that we must be in. It's not somewhere. It's not with someone. It's not with some mighty servant of God. God is almighty. The servants who accepted it, who believed it, who truly surrendered their life, becomes mighty servant, not because of their faith, because of the almighty God who works through them. There is only one almighty. That is why we call the servants of God mighty servants of God. Can you call anyone an almighty servant? There is only one almighty. So now, if the Lord emphasized the importance of presence, his presence, we started last week. Acts chapter is where the seventh church age, the Great Commission began. Amen. The Great Commission is very important, which kickstarted the church ages to be born. And how it all started? By the descent of Holy Spirit upon the servants of God. Acts chapter 1 says, ye shall power after the Holy Spirit descend unto you. Not before, not somewhere that, you know, that we learn something. No. Then we studied how the Lord said it is a promise of the Father that he will give us the Holy Ghost. Why? Because there is a beautiful synergy or similarity between how the Lord told Moses, fear not, I am with you wherever you go. The Lord told Moses, I am with you wherever you go. It's the presence of the Lord that goes before you. So Moses was able to just follow the presence of God. Although it took 40 years, he was already in the promised land. He was with God. God is our promised land. Amen.
Amen.
Then he told Joshua, fear not. I am with you wherever you go. He told the same promise what he told to Moses. When he said, it becomes a covenant. He established what he told Joshua. It's a promise. He told Joshua, no man in this earth can stand against you. That's it. And the word was fulfilled. Then Joshua was able to feel the confidence. You know why? Joshua was made to witness how the Lord used Moses mightily. He was seeing. When the Lord split the Red Sea, the Lord told Moses, Moses, raise your hand now. That verse, it really brings me joy. Because the enemies are gathering, the Pharaoh armies are there, people are waiting, what to do. Then the Lord said, God could have decided, okay, split the Red Sea without telling anything to Moses, then the whole people of Israel would have walked into the narrow path. But if the Lord did that, then people would not have remembered Moses, that God was with Moses. God always worked through his servants. He told Moses, I am ready, raise your hand. When he raised the hand, the recipe started splitting. The same, when he was keep on raising his hands, the battle was won. Because the Spirit of God was resting upon Moses, and the Lord wants all of the people to see what can happen to you, what can happen to your life when I am with you. So when Joshua heard the Lord said the same verse that he told to Moses, he was strengthened because a promise was given to Joshua. The previous promise was not given to Joshua. That is very important that we want to focus. That promise, when the Lord told Moses, "Fear not, for I am with you wherever you go," it was a calling, a promise that was given from the Lord to Moses. Not Joshua, not Aaron, not Phinehas, not Miriam, not anyone. To Moses. So when the Lord took Moses, that promise went away with Moses. Because it is sealed with the name of the servant. That's why the Lord made a covenant with Joshua. He encouraged him, told him, "Don't turn to right, don't turn to left, go straight. You, no one will stand against you because I am with you. Not because you learned all of this all your life, not because you are a mighty warrior, not because you have multitude of people of Israel, just because I am with you." When he said that, Joshua knew the battle has already won. Amen. With this, let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 16. By the grace of God, we shall study the words of life on the importance of God's presence in our lives. And last Sunday, we finished the book of Acts and we studied what the Lord taught us. Now, let's start from here. Chapter 2, verse 9 to 16. I shall read. But chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9 to 16, yes. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us." We cannot pay and take it. Freely given to us, as he pleased, according to his perfect will. "Which things also we speak, not in the word which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." This is what we will meditate on today. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Cannot receive. Only the spirit man can receive. That is why the Holy Spirit cannot bear witness with our flesh. Cannot bear with you as a person. It can only bear witness with you, with your spirit. Because natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Cannot. "For they are foolishness unto him. Yes, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him?" What Samuel told to Lord was like an instruction to God. Don't you know? What Ananias told to the Lord when he told him to anoint Saul, he said something, he's persecuting. It's like, don't you know? When the Lord told the same thing to Isaiah in a very, very difficult way, much worse than what he told, Isaiah said, and he did so. The word "here I am," it says, you are with God. When the Lord says, "I am who I am," and we say, "Here I am." When the Lord says, "I created you in my image and likeness, I am who I am," then we say, "Here I am." Whatever he says, "Here I am." Because the Lord is checking, are you with me or are you moving far away from me? The more and more we get far away from the Lord, the voice will get softer, softer, softer. At some point of time, he will say, "Lord, what happened? It's been 2 months since you called me." Then he will say, "No signal. You are not in my presence. You are just staying away somewhere." Even when he said that, we won't even listen because our eyes are shut, our ears cannot hear. That is what the Bible said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Those who are with God, in him, near to his presence, only those can listen to his voice. That's why when the Lord told Moses, "I am with you," which means you will hear my voice. I am with you. I will keep on speaking to you. Don't think about anything. So now for us, it is all spiritual battle. For Moses, it was all wilderness, multitude of people, enemies, Red Sea. For Joshua, enemies, battle. For us, it's all spiritual, but He is the same yesterday, today and forever. Amen. When the Lord is doing something in His presence, it may look foolishness to the eyes of the world. It may look mockery. People may think it is something like a worldly spirit, something, a man-made thing. But the Lord will surprise us when He opened our eyes, then we will say, Lord, I repent. That is why the Bible says, if we do not know of certain things, seal our mouth, keep quiet. Because when He says certain things, when Jesus said, anything spoken against Son of Man will be forgiven, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost will not be forgiven. The word has been spoken. Let us have the fear and trembling of the Lord when He bringeth down His presence. Because the presence of the Lord is the same that sent the fire that devoured Sodom and Gomorrah. That sent the fire that devoured the sons of Eli, the sons of Aaron. God used the same fire for a lot of examples we read in the Bible. But when He spoke to Moses, Moses had an experience with the Lord when he was alone. The flame, the burning bush, did not destroy the bush. It was a flame that surrounded the bush, and the bush was intact inside. When the Lord spoke to Moses, He established a covenant. He was telling Moses something that you haven't seen before. There is a fire, a flame, but the bush is not burnt. Likewise, He is surrounding us in His presence, which is the only way, the only wall that cannot be destroyed by any enemy. The Lord wants all of us to run back and stay in His presence.
Amen.
There is a difference between feeling the anointing of the Lord when the anointing is going on to someone in the church, because it is the warm. Because when the Lord does something great, people who see Him, people who follow Him, people who are near to Him, they will also see the things. They may think, I am on wildfire. But when the beasts come and take them, they would be surprised. How come? Because we did not cross the fire. If we do not circumcise the flesh, the spirit man cannot drag us to walk into the fire. Because the Bible said, natural man cannot receive the things of the spirit. It's as simple as that. So our battle is between the natural man and the spirit man. And the natural man is the carnal, is the enemy that we are fighting against. And most of the time we put all the blame on the world or even the enemy. We even accuse the accuser. But the Lord said, you are more powerful than that because I created you. We need to understand and acknowledge the power He has given us. And the power can kill you, can give you life. Because you can choose. God would not force His decision. He wants us to choose. Do you want to choose blessing or curse? Let's read Romans chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. The way Paul introduced himself, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David. Which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. Amen. Which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. And they declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. What happens when you resurrect from the dead? Your flesh is gone, your carnal is gone, your natural man is gone. What left is your spirit alone, and which is ready for the Lord to bear witness forever. Amen. Our witnessing will never stop because we are a living witness of the Lord. And by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. For His name, the name above all names.
Amen.
among whom ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. When he ends the wishes, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all remember when Jesus said, when I ascend unto heaven, I will send the Comforter. I'm going to my Father, your Father, my God, your God, and I will send the Comforter. And here we say, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, let's focus. What is this peace? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Brother Zonan, can you read this for me? I'll drink water. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 3.
Ephesians 4, verse 1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called.
Amen.
With all lowliness and meekness, and with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Amen.
Verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What is the bond of perfectness? We put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And here we read, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Bond of perfectness, bond of peace. When we tell everyone, hold on to peace and love, we need to know what we are telling them. Put on charity and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So, peace be with you. We tell them, may the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, be with you and you be in them.
Amen.
Without Holy Spirit, we cannot say, I am at peace. How can we receive the peace of God if there is no presence of God in our lives? In the presence of the Holy Spirit, there is liberty.
Amen.
What can liberty do to our lives? What is liberty? Bondage, liberty. Captivity, liberty. Slavery, freedom. Battle, peace. When you come victorious from a battle, the Lord says, I will give you rest. When you are in rest with Him, you are at peace. These are all not possible if we are not in the presence of God, not away from the presence of God. So whenever our heart is troubled because of disquietness, when the Lord says, seek me, seek my face, in my presence, you will find rest. He wants us to live in His presence, not once in a while, not just in fellowship, a prayer gathering or Sunday sermon. The Bible says all times, we seek the presence of God. God can touch us, bless us with His presence wherever we are. In the train, in the bus, when you sleep, wherever you are. Because when the Lord told Moses, fear not, for I am with you wherever you go. He did not say, I am with you whenever the trouble time comes. I am with you whenever you call me. I am with you when you are struggling. He didn't say that. Wherever you go, I am with you. Wherever you go. Which means all the time, I am with you. That is why the Lord said, I send the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire to lead the people of Israel day and night, all the time. Day and night. And the Lord says, work while there is a time, while there is a day. When the night comes, when no one can work. We need to know what the Lord tells all of us. When the grace is there, when the Lord has given us the grace, a privilege to do something for Him, we take it, we embrace it, when it is there. When the Lord shut the door, no one can open the door that the Lord shutteth. When the day is gone, when the night comes, we can't work. So now, the peace, the bond of peace. We are actually going back from Revelation, Acts. Now we are going to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 24 to 27. Jesus says, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let your not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. The Lord says, after he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Holy Ghost came all to our lives in his name, the name above all names, he who teacheth all things, and he who maketh remembering all things. When we read in Psalms, bless the Lord, O my soul, do not forget his benefits, can we say, Lord, don't worry, I will remember? We will forget. The Lord says, you cannot remember. Be in my presence, my spirit will remind you. If he said, no Lord, I have taken all the notes, I have a 10-20 of diaries, I can go and read, I can remember. No. When the Lord says, you will forget, we accept, yes Lord, I will forget. The Lord says, the Holy Spirit remembereth all things, then we say, here I am Lord, teach me so that I may remember, so that I would never forget. We accept, there is no remorse, there is no opposition, what the Lord tells us. So now, the peace, the presence of the Lord, the peace that the Lord has given to all of us, the ultimate confidence that he is with us, and the power of Holy Spirit. I had a lot of experiences in my life when I did some help for my dear friends when I was a student. Let's say you live very far away from your friend and he wants you to send some financial help because he's struggling, some surgery in his family or some educational problem, loan. So he calls, my dear friend, I am in trouble, can you send help? So what we do, okay, this is what I could do, I'm sending you this much, you know, from my account, and please keep it. When we send the help, we send it and we go in our way because we have our life to take care of it. The help was sent, someone received it and he solved the problem. But this does not work in our spiritual life. When we ask the Lord, Lord, give me the strength, then the Lord says, my son, take it. Thank you, Lord, goodbye. Lord, give me the gifts. My daughter, take it. Thank you, Lord, goodbye. The Lord says, I am your reward. What else you want? His presence is everything that you need. What else you want? I was at fault. I conversed when I started my journey with the Lord. I asked the Lord for strength, wisdom, to endurance. Lord, I want this, I want that. Lord, I want to grow, I want to learn. When I was a very immature, when I was 12, 14 years, like a boy, I was, Lord, I'm studying very hard, give me victory. I want to pass all the exams. I want to get a job. Lord, Lord, Lord. The first time I asked the Lord, Lord, I want you, I was in the garden crying in his presence. I couldn't even stood up because the Lord opened my nakedness because I told him, Lord, I love you so much because you blessed me with a job. That's it. The Lord said, do you love me because of this? I never asked the Lord for his presence in my life until that time. I never asked the Lord for him in my life. I only asked him for the blessings that is coming from his presence. I never ever prayed for his presence. That put me into shame. I cried, I cried, I cried. I couldn't. It took few days for me to accept that, yes, we are nothing but filthy rags. The presence of the Lord is all we need to ask. That is nothing but the Holy Spirit. Everything else comes with it. A good example is, now today we don't have Brother Zoyer. He is in Philippines doing some embassy works. Let's think that Brother Zoyer is a very strong, built up man who can go and overcome all the enemies, who can beat 5-10 people at the same time. And I am very weak. So I have to go to one place to another place in the midst of the forest. So I'm walking. There are many enemies coming. So I call Brother Zoyer. Brother Zoyer, where are you? He says, I'm in Cebu. I'm in Philippines. There are 4 enemies next to me. Can you do something to attack them from wherever you are? He will say, how can I do? I'm in Philippines. I'm just far away from you. Can I send money to you? I don't want your money. I'm going to be killed now. There are 4 enemies who have swords, weapons, they are going to attack me. Who needs your money? There are help that you can send which can disappear. But the true help is the person that everything that you have, the friendship, the bond, the love, if he is not with you, then there is something vulnerable that can happen to us any day. Any day. That is the vulnerability that can happen to anyone who do not desire and seek the presence of the Lord. I fell in my life because I did not seek the presence of the Lord, but rather I was asking for this, that, learning, knowledge, books, keep on studying everything. But if there is no presence of the Lord, you are still bondage to whatever you do. Even when you read Bible, all the people who are in different religions, denominations, they can spend their entire life and keep on reading the Bible every single day. It is also idol worship. There is no spirit. Everything that we do without the presence of God, without giving the honor and reference to the presence of the Lord in His spirit, anything that we do can be an idol worship. We may think, Lord, I'm going to be blessed because you are going to send your mighty servant to come and preach to us. Idol worship. You worship the servant, not the Lord. We think, Lord, I'm sick, I'm going to be healed if I go to the prayer gathering because I heard this man is has a very good track record. The percentage of success rate is very high. He gave 20 prophecies, 18 fulfilled, only 2 failed. So let me be the 18. I go and attend the idol worship. We give honor to the presence of the Lord, not the empty vessel that is used to bring down the presence. The empty vessel cannot boast. Can be anyone. That is what the Lord says, if you want to be a master, be a servant. Because I am the only master, not you.
Amen.
I am the savior, not you.
Amen.
I will save. Just be there, I will save. Don't try to save. The last beautiful, powerful verse that Brother Gan advised me when I was truly broken into pieces because of what was going on in my family. Brother Gan just called me and said, he couldn't speak. He just said this 1 week, 2 weeks before he went to be with the Lord. He said, Brother Prasi, take your hands of your brother. Four words. Take your hands of your brother. Everybody have their own cross. Do you believe that? Everybody have their own work. Do you believe that? Everyone have their own wilderness. Everyone must go through their own valley. We cannot save people. We can pray, we can edify, we can encourage, we can exhort, we can do everything according to His perfect will. The day when we tried to be a hero, which I did a lot of times in my life, it backfired me. It put me into a wounded state, spiritually, of my guilty conscience. What we need to pray is, Lord, keep me soaked in Thy presence, so that it is not me who speak, it is You who speak, because sometimes You may maintain silence. The Bible says, testimony ran out of the place, because the Lord did not do great things. God says, I'm going to be silent. Now, we cannot come and say, Lord, I'm going to tell 10 testimonies because I don't want your name to be dishonored. The Lord says, I'm working. I'm triggering my people. I'm rekindling the people. What are you doing?
Amen.
So let us understand the presence of the Lord, there is liberty. The liberty is, if you truly ask the Lord, the true liberty is, Lord can circumcise the natural man from you and isolate your spiritual man to be free in His presence. That is the liberty that can make us to receive what the Spirit can say, because the natural man cannot receive. If you don't believe that, we will think, I have read everything, I can understand. Yes, you can understand. When the Lord shakes us, we will betray God. We will refuse Him.
Amen.
Let's read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 to 18. We started from the Holy Spirit, the power, now the peace, and we are moving to what the presence of the Lord can bring down. Amen. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious, seeing that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which pulled over his face that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Amen. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image of from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. The presence of the Lord brings liberty, because the presence of the Lord brings down His glory in the midst of us. If there is no glory in the midst of us, then we are not beautiful in His sight. Zechariah chapter 2 verse 5 says, the wall of fire surrounded, and in the midst of her there was God's glory. The glory of the Lord was in the midst of her. Not far away. In the midst of her, and the wall of fire surrounded. So the presence of the Lord bringeth the glory of the Lord. The way the Lord used Moses so mightily is spiritually inspiring and teaches a lot of things, because that day when he started the journey, he was 80 years old. 80 years he was waiting to start the journey for the Lord. But what more important for him, the Lord spoke to him. When he spoke to him in the burning bush, his life changed. Everything else is not the work of Moses. Moses gave himself for the work of God. And the Lord decides when to start, when to end. Amen. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1 to 11 we read. So we just read about the glory of the Lord and Moses. Let's read Isaiah chapter 61. I will read from verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty. Where there is the Holy Spirit, there is liberty. Amen. To proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Amen. Verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn is Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen. The power of worship is something very important in our lives, because we are inviting the Holy Spirit presence to take complete control of that place where we stand, including our everything, so that when there is Holy Spirit, your natural man cannot stand. The Lord will say, you are free because I can see a spiritual man separately. We cannot do it. God can do it. But who will seek? We shall seek. The Lord says, seek my face and you will find me. Seek my face, you will find me. Lord does not say, you can go on your way, I will just come and show my face. Seek my face and you will find me. Amen. Now let's continue what the Lord says. Verse 3. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. When I read that, I was reminded of one verse. Let's just hold on to this chapter 61. Let's read this Genesis chapter 3 verse 8. Genesis chapter 3 verse 8. The Lord says, you are called trees of righteousness, because He is the one who planted the seed. He is righteous. If we abide in Him, we will be called the trees of righteousness. But we have no righteousness, which means the life inside the tree is the presence of God, is His Spirit. Amen. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 8, you see what Adam and Eve did. We read 3:6 before, chapter 3 verse 6, but we read chapter 3 verse 8 now. Verse 8 says, and they heard the voice of the Lord, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And see this, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Amen. Adam and Eve, they were scared of the presence of the Lord because what they did repulsed them from the presence of the Lord. They went and hid behind the trees of the garden. In Isaiah 61, the Lord said, if my Spirit rests upon you, you shall be called the trees of righteousness. We don't have to hide behind the trees of the world, trees of the flesh, trees of ego, trees of our own understanding. But rather, the Lord says, you are a seed of mine. Believe and receive my righteousness I will impute in thee. By doing so, the presence of the Lord, the Spirit that works in us, can make us to be called the trees of righteousness. The tree of life. What the Lord has done in our lives is something we have to appreciate the Lord by remembering how weak we were. Amen. How we were hiding behind the trees of the garden. Let's continue to read Isaiah chapter 61 as we continue from verse 4. And they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowman and your wine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory ye boast yourself. The Lord says, don't boast, don't allow pride. But here the Lord says, in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. Verse 7, for your shame ye shall have double. For your shame ye shall have double. And for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. Amen. For the Lord love judgment, I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, and they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. We are the seed that the Lord hath blessed. Because we accepted, we repented, we confessed, and we surrendered our life that He may take the preeminence in our lives. Amen. The presence of the Lord. Let's read Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10. How Moses is honored by the Lord in the prophetical books. What we read before in 2 Corinthians, the glory of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. With the right hand of my righteousness. That is why in Deuteronomy chapter 31, when Moses told the people, fear not, because God is with us. In the foundation of God, if we are not with God, if God is not with us, we are not standing on the foundation of God, but on something else, because God wants us to be the temple where He can dwell. It remembered all of us, when the prophet Eli was taking care of the flame in the temple, which should not be put off, because of his actions, what he did, and also what the sons, how the sons were killed, the sons of Eli, we remember. But when the flame in the temple was put off, the Lord has a reason to remove Eli and to bring Samuel
to fill the position. Amen. Now, if we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Lord wants us to continually burn the flame. He wants us to continually seek the oil of the joy. He is our joy. If we don't seek, we cannot burn the flame. If the flame is not burning, then we would not be the temple of the Holy Spirit that can dwell in. If there is no Holy Spirit that dwells in, then we cannot say, the glory of the Lord is in the midst of me. Then how can we call a church? How can we say, I am a spiritual house, but if there is no spirit, I am just a house, just the tree in the garden behind which Adam was trying to hide, not the trees of righteousness, what Isaiah was telling about. Let's continue to read Exodus chapter 33, verse 12 to 14. And Moses said unto the Lord, this is a beautiful conversation between Moses and the Lord. Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Moses is asking, whom thou shalt send with me? Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, shew me now thy way, and that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Moses is talking to the Lord to receive understanding from the Lord, because he could not understand exactly what the Lord told him. And the Lord says, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. If you stay away from the presence, you will never enter into his rest. There is no peace. If there is no Holy Spirit, if there is no God's presence in our lives, then we cannot discern who is speaking to us. And when Adam and Eve wanted to flee away from the presence of God, hiding behind the trees, we read in Psalms, where we will go? To the valley, to the top of the mountain, to the depth of the sea. There is nowhere we can go and hide from the Lord. There is no way we can hide from his presence, as we read. So now the Lord says, for, and he said unto them, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. If there is no presence, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in thou goest with us, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Amen. This is what the Lord told Moses. And Moses said, if there is no presence of thee, I don't want to go. Do we have the same humbleness? We may think it's a demand. Actually, the Lord wants us to demand. The Lord says, ask me anything in my name and I shall give it to you freely. And what is that? Himself. We ask his spirit. Amen. I just close in two verses, then we shall continue next Sunday. So when Nadab and Abihu, they were killed in Leviticus chapter 10, in the presence of the Lord, the fire devoured them. And also the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, when the ark of God was brought after the battle, they were slain in the battle. And if you remember Aaron, when he lost his son, the Bible says he held his peace. Aaron held his peace. Because this is the verse that reminds us how important it is for us to fear and tremble in the presence of the Lord. Let's read this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 8 to 10. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with the everlasting destruction. Let's read this carefully. Everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord
and from the glory of His power. Amen. The glory of the Lord can destroy His enemies. The glory of the Lord can empower His children. The presence of the Lord can guide His children. And from the presence of the Lord, the destruction shall come down to devour His enemies. And verse 10 it says, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all that they believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Amen. The presence of the Lord and the glory of the Lord. These two are the most important desire that should burn like a wildfire in our heart, because the day we lose it, the day we go away from it, we are vulnerable to our own mind and to the world. Amen. We shall continue by the grace of God, and I just want to say this when we close. We started this sermon by saying fear and tremble at the presence of the Lord. Amen. With honor and reverence for our master. So when Zechariah chapter 2 verse 5 said the wall of fire surrounds his people and the glory of the Lord in the midst of her, may the Lord guide all of us to be inside that fire. Because the people who are inside the fire and those who are outside the fire will feel the same warmth. But when the day of the Lord comes, the Bible says, ye are sealed unto the day of the redemption by the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
It is the seal. What do you mean by seal? If I give a gift to you, I will seal the gift and I pass it to you. A seal that covers the gift completely. No gap, no holes, no leakage. Seal. Waterproof, fireproof. Seal. The Bible says, Ephesians chapter 4, it says, ye are sealed unto the day of redemption by the Holy Ghost. Seal. Now, are we standing outside the seal or are we sealed inside by the Holy Spirit? The presence of the Lord is our seal, and may the Lord guide us to stay inside His presence. And this sermon, it shall continue by next Sunday by the grace of God. And let's all stand and pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, that you are with us. Thank you, Lord, that you called all of us sons and daughters of God, saints and kings, the holy priesthood. Lord, we were not worthy. Our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. But Lord, we thank you that you breathe thy living word into all our lives. Lord, we are rejoicing in thy presence because there is liberty in thy presence. The presence of God, the glory of God brings rejoice to His children, because there is absolutely nothing can touch us, nothing can separate us when we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Lord, the day of the Lord, the day of the redemption. Oh Lord, thank you, Lord, that you separate the wheat from the tares. Oh Lord, may you show us the grace and mercy and continue to teach us in thy spirit that we may grow to be the wheat. That you will collect us and store us in thy barn, O Father. Lord, we thank you for everything. Help us to understand the wildfire that we need in our hearts to bear more fruits for thee. Because the branch that doesn't bear fruit, you will cut off and throw into the fire. Lord, we want a fire, the same fire, the flame that was in the burning bush when you talked to Moses. That protected the bush. The bush was not destroyed. Lord, we pray, protect our spirit, O Lord. The natural man cannot receive with the Spirit of God, but Lord, help us to be the spiritual man, the spiritual sons and daughters of you, the spiritual holy priesthood, the spiritual being that you want us to be, O Lord. And Lord, not by our spirit, not by power, not by might, but by thy spirit, O Lord. Lord, we are here to surrender ourselves that our spirit may be, Father, completely suppressed and influenced and controlled by thy Holy Spirit. Only then we can say we are a witness to our Lord and God. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the grace. Thank you, Lord, for the mercy. Lord, we believe when you took the servant from this church and the calling was taken. But Lord, as we all walk in thy grace and mercy, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, the entire church, we represent Joshua. Lord, you are always with your children. And Lord, we ask thee and we pray and we cry unto thee, O Father. Lord, May your presence be with us all the time, that you may guide us, that you may take us where you want us to go. We don't want to turn right, we don't want to turn left, but we want to go straight in the narrow path, O Lord. Lord, be with us. Help all of us, every one of us in the church. We are all Joshua. Lord, speak to our heart. Make us to desire for the best of the spiritual gifts, that we may find our calling in this ministry. Because, O Lord, we want to work for you. We want to bear more fruits for you. O Lord, may this church continue to produce the fruits for you. Or else, O Lord, we don't want to be cut off and thrown into fire, but rather we want to be inside the wall of fire, which is you, the glory that is in the midst of us, and the presence of the Lord and the Holy Spirit that is guiding all of us, remembering, reminding all of us of thy great works in our lives. We thank you. We bless you. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray and we believe we received it. Amen.